Well, we are talking about illegal aliens, and now we're going to be talking about a slightly different type of group of aliens. And today is the World UFO Day. Today, June 24th, is the day there was a very famous sighting in Mount Rainier. We'll talk a little bit about that. And to commemorate this very special day, this is a topic that fascinates me, and I'm sure a lot of you have watched all the shows and follow all these UFO-type shows. And it's a very interesting topic, and we have one of the best experts in the country on today. Our guest is Mark Rodiger, who has been the president and scientific director of the J. Allen Hynek Center for UFO Studies here in Chicago for 32 years. Welcome to the show, Mark. How are you?
Hi, Karen. Very good. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about UFOs this evening.
That's great. So I just want to give a little bit of background. You've got a bachelor's of science in astrophysics and a master's and PhD from U of I in Chicago in sociology. Your center studies, it's an international group that academics and scientists and investigators and volunteers who all study UFOs and these phenomena. So I just want to kind of give a little bit of background.
Sure.
Now, why should we study UFOs, unidentified flying objects? What is so important about these that we should be studying them?
I think two reasons. You know, one is that anything is fair game for study by science, right? Anything that we don't understand is something that's reasonable to study. But, of course, the more important reason is that UFOs could be something that really is astounding. Either some incredible natural phenomena or we don't understand, or yes, it could be some other intelligence that is visiting Earth.
So usually the one that everyone knows about is the Roswell, New Mexico crash in 1947. But the UFO Day is actually named or kind of commemorating another one. Can you tell me a little bit about that sighting in Mount Rainier?
Sure. June 24th, 1947 is when we think the modern era of UFO sightings and reports began, because a fellow out who was actually a private pilot looking for a downed aircraft saw in daylight nine kind of boomerang-shaped objects, not flying saucer-shaped, that were traveling in a straight line near Mount Rainier. And when he came back and landed, he told some people. The story eventually got to the newspapers, and it went national very quickly. And it led to, as time went on, I should say it was associated with many, many other sightings that people began to report then.
And what is the common, I mean, I think we all have seen the shows, and we see the flying saucer looking, that sort of hovering around, and it's not explainable by anything else. And just, can you give us a typical sighting when it lands and what the aliens look like?
Well, those are less common these days, by the way, than they used to be back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. But it's still true that UFOs that land, I'll stick with your example, are more often oval or disc-shaped. Now, as far as what the beings look like, we like to use the word beings, and they are often look like, not like us in terms of our, facial features, but two arms, two legs, right, one head, etc., even though they're usually dressed in some kind of a uniform. There have, though, been other types of things reported, really strange things shaped like the Michelin Man from the tire commercials, and even odder than that. But the general thing that people see is, as I've described, not quite what people report from abduction cases.
So when there is a sighting, and you're saying there's fewer sightings now than there have been in the past, is that what you're saying?
A fewer close encounters. Dr. Hynek, who founded our organization and was at Northwestern, came up with a great classification scheme for reports. One section of that was what he called close encounters. And close encounters of the third kind are where you see aliens, and that was what Steven Spielberg named his movie after. Close encounters of the second kind are where you have a physical trace in the environment on the ground, or a car is stopped by a UFO. See, it's close encounters that we have far fewer of now than we did years ago.
Is there some reason that you and the scientists who study this have come up with as to why that is?
No, I wish we knew. It's one of the biggest mysteries. You know, the UFO phenomenon itself is a giant scientific mystery, in our opinion. Within it, there are various puzzles, let's call them. And this is certainly one of them. There's another change that's occurred, and we've already talked about what the shape of a UFO is. And these days, when people get a good view of a UFO, and it's you can see the shape well enough, they tend not to be a flying saucer shape. They're more likely triangle, boomerang-shaped objects, you know, more so than the classic we think of.
Is there any thought that these entities are coming from the same place, or have you not gotten that far yet?
No, we don't know where, if they are entities coming here, we don't know where they're coming from, for sure, and so we don't know if they're all coming from the same place. I guess that if I can speculate for a second, the universe is very old and very big, and it would be surprising if we were being visited by only one type of alien. It actually makes sense if you look at the numbers that if you're visited by one, you're probably visited by more than that, just again because of the vastness of time, vastness of space.
I'm getting a lot of texters. I call them my temper texters. These are people who are angry, I think, with a lot of things. But, like, this is silly, and this is dumb, and this doesn't really happen, and this is a bunch of hoax. How many people would you say have been basically have gone down in history as having sightings that have not been ruled out as a hoax? How many people?
Thousands, you know, thousands and thousands. And I appreciate people that are skeptical about the subject, but I like to think honestly skeptical. Honestly skeptical means not knee-jerk skepticism, and that's, by the way, true about anything in science or life. What you want to be is informed and skeptical about something, meaning that you've read the and the cases, you've studied things, and all the rest. But to answer your point, lots of pilots, scientists, police officers, you know, et cetera, have definitely seen things that not only I say are unexplained, the U.S. Air Force said were unexplained in their Project Blue Book.
And we're going to talk a little bit about the government and government studies that have been done and their involvement in this episode. So we're talking to Mark Rodiger, who's the president and scientific director of the Center for UFO Studies. If you have a question for him or a comment, give me a call here at 312-981-7200. This is the Karen Conti Show on WGN.
Two little men in a flying saucer flew down to Earth one day. Listen to a radio, saw a television show and said...
Welcome back. We're talking about UFOs. Today is World UFO Day today, and I have on with me a guest who's an expert, who is the president and director of the Center for UFO Studies, Mark Rodiger. Thank you for joining me. Before we talk about the government's involvement in UFOs, I want to talk about, have there been any real important sightings in the Chicago area of unidentified flying objects?
There certainly have, and the two most recent occurred in 2004, 2005, and then 2006. So briefly, let me start with the last one. In November of 2006, over O'Hare Airport, of all places, several people, including ground personnel and a pilot, saw a oval-shaped object hovering over Terminal C for United, out you know, in the runway area, and it hovered there for several minutes. It was a cloudy day, so it was clearly under the clouds, and then suddenly rose straight up into the air through the clouds. It's quite astounding, to say the least. What's even more astounding is that the FAA took no interest in this sighting. And that is absolutely crazy, because we had, you know, real personnel reporting this, you know, not the public. Over in the busiest airport in the United States, at least at the time, and the FAA laughed it off. And so we're not talking aliens, we're just talking something that was hovering over the airport.
Interesting. So, and was that any of this captured on film or cameras?
No. You might say it's hard to believe that it wasn't captured on camera, but if you go to O'Hare, most people aren't looking up, of course. Secondly, this was back at the time when not a lot of people had cell phones and they were out working, you know, out in the daylight. It's actually hard to capture something. But, you know, the quick answer is no. Nobody got it on a cell phone video. As far as radar, we had a group of investigators, including a fellow who worked for NASA, look into this. They wrote a very detailed report, looked at the radar, and detected nothing. This is not surprising. Some UFOs appear on radar, some don't. You know, another one of the puzzles. But the witness testimony is solid, and in fact, it was so solid, meaning that it was something that must have occurred, that we know that United told its personnel not to talk to anybody about it, even though John Hiljkovic in the Tribune wrote an article about it that at the time it appeared, which was January 1st, 2007, got the most hits on the Tribune website of anything up to that point.
Interesting. Peter in Saukville says, how about the sightings by Navy pilots publicized in the past year, flying ovoids that defy the laws of physics? Any thoughts on these?
Can I tell you about one more Chicago
sure,
area sighting?
Absolutely.
And then we'll talk about that related to the government study. The other one's down near Sauk Village, not exactly there, Tinley Park and Orland Park. It's more spectacular than the O'Hare sighting because here, literally hundreds of people saw a series of three orange lights that were traveling very slowly. Here there are videos of these lights, and they were traveling at a low speed. They hovered, they rotated. The first sighting occurred in August of 2004 on a beautiful evening just after dark, and so, not surprisingly, hundreds of people saw this, and we've never been able to explain it, because if you look at the videos and you talk to the witnesses, as I've done, you end up with saying, well, it can't be planes, it can't be balloons, because they wouldn't stay in a fixed triangle. It's a huge triangle, by the way. We're not talking a 50-foot triangle. We're talking hundreds of feet on each side. And then after that, it gets very tricky. You think about what else it could be, even though the skeptics have said, well, it has to be balloons, but I don't think the flight characteristics match that.
Interesting. So our texter here about the Navy science.
Right. So this gets into the government study of UFOs. And while the government studied UFOs in the from almost 1947, essentially, when Kenneth Arnold had his sighting we talked about, all the way through the end of 1969, they then stopped their project. But beginning about 2008, another project began. Interesting name of the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. And it was begun at the behest of Harry Reid, who knew he was into UFOs, our senator from Nevada.
I was very surprised about that.
It did interesting work. But as your texter or caller said, there was the most spectacular sighting that they had data on occurred in 2004, southwest of San Diego in the Pacific, in November of 2004, when our high-performance FA-18 Hornet aircraft were involved with trying to vector into and intercept basically a tic-tac-shaped UFO. The aircraft were operating out of the carrier Nimitz. There was also a Ticonderoga-class cruiser. These are the highly advanced cruisers that have missiles and have radar detection capabilities that are our most advanced type of operating, you know, ships. There was an E-2C Hawkeye airborne early warning and control aircraft there as well, because this was a full-fledged exercise that was going on, not about UFOs, of course, about keeping these groups here from the Nimitz carrier strike group all up to snuff with their training. The UFOs were actually detected on radar and visually for several days, and culminating in a day when the UFOs were seen on video. They're captured on video, so people can go to the web and find these videos. They're real. They came from the government. They didn't come from some weird source. And the government concluded, as a fellow named Louis Elizondo, who was running the program for the Pentagon, they concluded these things were not only, unknown, meaning we don't know where they came from, that they have performance characteristics that don't match anything we can do or the Russians can do or the Chinese can do or whoever you want to think about.
Mark, just briefly, we got just a few minutes left, but I want to cover a couple of things. I have a texter who says, what about the rumors that alien bodies are found at the crash sites? Is there any good evidence that there have been bodies found and the government did something with them and we don't know about it?
No, I have to say there isn't. The Roswell crash itself is absolutely a mystery. It is not explained by all three of the government explanations they've come up with. But the reports of bodies there and other places, I have not found credible.
Have there been any instances where people have been injured or had long-term effects from having interactions with aliens from these UFOs?
Aliens, or at least the sightings. One quick example, a police officer in Minnesota in the late 70s saw a light, an oval-shaped light, really didn't see an object. It couldn't see the object itself. It came toward his police car and seemed to essentially strike it. And he ended up with welder's burns on his eyes, which did clear up, but meant that he had something really bright, had done just what he said it did, which is come right at his car, and there was a bunch of associated damage with his car. That's just one example of things that have happened. So, by the way, if you see a UFO, I've never been lucky enough to. But if you do, I recommend enjoying the experience immensely, but not trying to get too close to it.
If people want more information or they want to maybe look at some of the videos or all that, where would you direct them?
Well, of course, our website would be a good place to start. We have, a tremendous amount of information, resources there and links. It's www.cufos.org. There are other good sightings. If you want to read about current sightings that have come in, and there are, of course, are online databases, and we don't specialize as much in capturing every sighting that occurs, so I would suggest people take a look at the National UFO Reporting Center, or NUFORC.org, NUFORC.org, and you can read people's actual accounts there of recent sightings.
Thank you so much for joining us, Mark Rodiger, from President and Scientific Director of the Center for UFO Studies. Have a great evening, and I appreciate your time.
Thanks so much.
All right, take care. Now we're going to be taking a break, and then we are going to be taking your legal questions. Please get your calls in, 981-7200, or text to 981-7200. This is the Karen Conti Show on WGN.